I think that young doctors training now realize the world has changed. And, you know, the majority of physicians being trained today will be employees of either a large hospital system or a corporate entity of some kind. And to hear physicians talk about this, I was really jarred, because it's the kind of thing I expected to hear from, you know, people working at Amazon in a warehouse, or maybe from Starbucks workers, but not from, you know, these sort of prestigious professionals who have graduated from medical school and are thought to be so autonomous. It was really striking to me. I think it captures how much the job has changed.
I'm Lisa Rosenbaum, and this is Not Otherwise Specified. This season, we're going to explore the upheaval in medical training, a topic I also delve into in a series of Medicine and Society articles now available at nejm.org. The factors shaping medical training today are many, complex, and of course have a lot to do with challenges the entire profession is facing. But it's also impossible to understand our training environments without considering cultural forces far beyond our walls. There's been a major societal shift in attitudes about work. There are generational tensions, many of which are playing out between bosses and employees. And there's a cultural obsession with wellness, self-optimization, and the establishment of firm boundaries between work and life. As these factors converge with medicine's relentless corporate march, more have begun to wonder whether the sacrifices that have long been an accepted part of medical training, are still worth it.
You know, when I ask if you could wave a magic wand and get all the time back, would you pick this path again? I get a lot of resounding no's, even from people that I wouldn't necessarily expect that from.
I think a lot of folks feel like they're basically a warm body with an NPI, and that they can be slotted in, like any other person can be slotted into this equation to solve the staffing needs of the hospital. We have very little control over our working conditions.
So we're going to spend this season understanding why people feel this way and what, if anything, we can do about it. We have a great lineup of trainees, educators, and experts on these evolving cultural norms. These topics are tough to talk about. Many are understandably hesitant to be critical of trainees or to seem insensitive to their well-being. But as vulnerable as trainees may be, so too are our patients. We do a disservice to both groups if we're too afraid to talk about what's really going on in our training environments.
It shouldn't take somebody leaving their job and no longer having to fear consequences to talk about this. And that it's very telling that nobody's willing to talk about it on the record.
I really think that medical training is undergoing the most seismic shift we've seen since the introduction of duty hour limits in 2003. But because it's not happening in a single moment, because there's nothing we can count, because it's driven by so many forces beyond our control, and because, of course, it's so hard to talk about, we're probably not paying as much attention as we should. So in this season, we'll speak candidly about these issues with a little less heat, a little less fear, and all the humanity that drove us to this profession in the first place. I'm Lisa Rosenbaum. This is Not Otherwise Specified, a podcast from the New England Journal of Medicine. Season 2 launches January 31st. Tune in wherever you get your podcasts.